Foreign aid. Our tax money confiscated from us for foreign aid has subsidized communist regimes and other enemies of our nation, has financed wars between nations which would not have had the capacity to fight each other without our help, has financed communist socialist revolutions throughout Latin America and Africa, has built and subsidized foreign industries to compete with our own, has piled up our national debt, dissipated our monetary gold reserve, inflated our living costs, debased our currency, has caused hatred and resentment of us throughout the world, and has accomplished absolutely nothing that is good for the United States. With a record like that, foreign aid came before Congress again in 1966, and again, Congress authorized continuation of the disastrous program, ignoring the fact that the whole operation is unconstitutional, beating down efforts to make the program less harmful to our nation. That is a summary of my report on foreign aid. The full report after a message from my sponsor. Since 1946, our government has confiscated from American taxpayers more than $150 billion for aid to foreign countries. Our tax money has subsidized communist regimes which are sworn enemies of our nation. It has supported nations which, though not controlled by communists, are inimical to the United States and seething with hatred and resentment of Americans. It has financed wars between nations which would not have had the capacity to fight each other without our help. And in the process, it has made the warring nations hate us because of the aid we give their enemies. Our foreign aid has financed social upheavals and communist socialist revolutions throughout Latin America and Africa, bringing to power political regimes whose policies are based on hatred of the United States. Our aid has built and subsidized foreign industries which are now ruining American industries by underselling them, not only in world markets, but in the domestic market. The foreign giveaway programs have piled up our national debt, dissipated our monetary gold reserve, inflated our living costs, debased our currency. In short, foreign aid has been a major means of accomplishing three objectives set by a Soviet agent at the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference held in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, July 1944. Harry Dexter White, head of the American delegation, controlled the Bretton Woods Conference. The policies he set, which our government has followed without deviation since the end of World War II, were intended: one, to build the industrial capacity of other nations at our expense in order to eliminate American productive superiority. Two, to take world markets and much of the American domestic market away from American producers so that capitalistic America would no longer dominate world trade. Three, to strip the United States of the great gold reserve which had made our dollar the dominant currency on earth by giving the gold away to other nations. The Gold Reserve Act of 1934, which made the American dollar irredeemable in gold for Americans, provided that foreign governments, institutions, and central banking systems can redeem their American dollars in gold. Consequently, every American dollar spent, invested, or given away abroad, and every American dollar spent in the United States to purchase foreign-made goods, are potential claims against our gold reserve. The total of all such claims is reduced by the amount of foreign money spent or invested in the United States, or spent in foreign lands to buy American-made goods. The difference between what we as a nation spend and give away abroad and what foreigners buy from us is called balance of payments. We suffer a balance of payments deficit when what we spend and give away abroad exceeds what foreigners buy from us. When the Bretton Woods Conference was held in 1944, the United States had 60% of all known gold reserves in the world, and the total of all foreign claims against our gold was relatively insignificant. The annual balance of payments had been running steadily in our favor for almost half a century. Then post-war foreign aid and foreign defense programs began, scattering the savings and salaries of Americans all over the world. Soon we were suffering a balance of payments deficit every year. Today we have less than $13.5 billion in our gold reserve, and foreign short-term claims total more than $30 billion. Nations receiving our aid have cashed in their surplus dollars at the U.S. Treasury, taking a total of $12.3 billion of our gold reserve, leaving us technically bankrupt, holding less than half enough gold to meet all existing foreign claims. we are now at the mercy of the foreign nations to whom we have given aid. If, with the dollar holdings we have given them, they should make a run on our treasury demanding gold redemption, we would be in an actual state of bankruptcy, a nation with worthless currency, closed factories, massive unemployment. All of this is a mere indication of the harm that our government's foreign aid programs have done to our country. The total damage they have done is too massive and far-reaching to be assessed. With a record like that, the foreign aid programs came before the House of Representatives for approval in July 1966. Not one representative pointed out that all the foreign aid and foreign lending programs are unconstitutional, since the Constitution does not authorize the federal government to confiscate money from Americans for the benefit of foreigners. But a few representatives did propose amendments to make certain aspects of foreign aid less harmful to the United States. Representative Edward Derwinski proposed an amendment to reduce Alliance for Progress funds from $850 million to $750 million, pointing out that the program has done more harm than good, saying, quote, "We have heard the argument that the Alliance for Progress has brought countries in Latin America into the 20th century. If we would study history, we would find there were fewer revolutions in Latin America prior to the social unrest generated by the Alliance for Progress program than there have been since," end quote. The House rejected Mr. Derwinski's amendment. Representative H.R. Gross proposed an amendment to prohibit the granting of foreign aid funds to United Nations agencies within the United States as long as those agencies harbor known spies who have violated the security interests of the United States. His amendment was rejected. And so was an amendment to prevent the granting of U.S. tax money to U.N. agencies which give aid to Cuba and other communist countries. The House also rejected amendments to keep United States tax money from being given to countries whose policies are contrary to the policies of the United States. The House debate on foreign aid closed July 14. Representatives Harold Collier and William Randall rather well summed up the arguments against foreign aid. Mr. Collier said, "Ostensibly, the purpose of this tremendous outpouring of America's wealth has been to combat communism, to gain allies to make it easier for us to prevent war from breaking out or to help us fight wars once they start, and to help underdeveloped infant nations to establish sound economies. What has been the result? Since foreign aid first became institutionalized, the United States has become engaged in two wars in Asia against communist aggression. We fought in Korea for 3 years, and the only nation that gave us substantial aid was Turkey. We are now fighting in Vietnam and are suffering heavy casualties. We are getting only token help from our numerous allies, and many of them are trading with our communist enemies. Our policy of buying friends has been a colossal failure all over the world, as our diplomats have been insulted, our embassies stoned, and our libraries burned. The bill before us provides for economic or military aid, or both, to 84 nations, plus carryover aid to 10 other nations. Military aid will go to 55 different nations at a time when we're talking about peace. Many of these nations have used American-manufactured weapons against each other, while a number of others are on the verge of fighting. France, one of the largest recipients of military aid, has turned its back on us in Vietnam, has demanded the evacuation of Americans from France, and wants to close our bases on French soil. The United Kingdom, which we have given a tremendous amount of military assistance, continues to send her ships into Vietnam and communist Cuba. Latin American countries have received large amounts of military aid, but not one soldier has been volunteered from them for the Vietnamese War. In Africa, where we have sent considerable military aid, 7 governments have been overthrown by military coups since June of last year." End quote. Congressman Randall said, quote, "How much longer can this country endure a foreign aid program? The record is clear. There has been failure after failure that has been paid for with our billions. Although the long record of failures is one of the best reasons why we should stop the foreign aid program, there are other reasons, including such things as the drain on our U.S. gold stocks. The worst evil of all about foreign aid is that we have furnished aid to countries who are now actively assisting North Vietnam, our enemy. The time to stop the program is now, right now, end quote. The House ignored the unanswerable arguments and passed the 1966 Foreign Aid Bill, giving President Johnson even more tax money than he had asked for. The Senate reduced the amount, then came the conference discussions. Not on the question of stopping the plunder of Americans to subsidize their foreign enemies and competitors, but on the question of how much they shall be plundered by the present administration and Congress. The people ought to let Congress know how they feel about foreign aid. They ought to let Congress know that they intend to work for the political defeat of every elected official who continues to support this disastrous blackmail operation against the American people. And to make a beginning, you must inform yourselves. We need to elect constitutionalists to the Congress of the United States. But the people cannot elect constitutionalists to Congress until and unless the people themselves understand the constitutional system under which we are supposed to be living.